This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on October 30th, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. I would like to begin the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Tuesday, October 30th, 2007. The first item on our agenda involves Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-20 involving XM Radio. We have both Robert Knopp and Ron Catwan from the General Counsel's Office. Counsel, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda Document 0770, response to an advisory opinion request submitted by Counsel for XM Satellite Radio. XM is a satellite radio company with over 8 million subscribers and over 170 channels. One of those channels, POTUS 08, focuses exclusively on the upcoming presidential election. Among other things, it features news updates, candidate interviews, speeches, and debate coverage. As a separate and distinct part of POTUS 08, XM plans to provide free airtime to presidential candidates for content supplied directly by the candidates. This candidate-supplied content will not be edited by XM and will only be rejected if it fails to meet XM's access guidelines. XM asks whether its broadcasts on POTUS 08, including the candidate-supplied content, are exempt from the Act's prohibitions on corporate contributions, expenditures, and electioneering communications under the press exemption. XM also asks whether the candidate-supplied content must carry disclaimers. The draft before you answers both questions in the affirmative and provides a non-exhaustive list of three sample disclaimers that would comply with the Act's disclaimer requirements. We did receive one comment on this draft from the requester, who requests a change in some of the wording of one of the disclaimers in the disclaimer portion of the draft. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion, comments? Vice Chairman Mason.
As my colleagues know, I am concerned about the application of the disclaimer requirements to this particular activity. And I'll go back and note that the Daniels AO, which is sort of where that emerged and was one of the first advisory opinions that I participated here at the commission, was sort of an unfortunate mixture of media exemption and advertising. And in the world of the media exemption by its terms exempts news stories, commentaries, and editorials, and the obvious other side of that is advertisements. And so the sort of idea is that even if you're a media company, you can't give away free ads, but you can do whatever you want with your editorial space. And what Daniels proposed was to give away free ads. And we said that was okay in the context of the system that they set up, where they're going to give them to all legally qualified candidates in the districts they reached, and in relying on the FCC regs, which gave them certain public interest obligations. Obviously, the FCC didn't tell them they had to run the ads, but that the running the ads were consistent with a more general public interest obligation that they had. And then we dropped in the disclaimer thing, and I think we did so largely because these were ads, you know, 30-second spots that otherwise were there. And here we move into a substantially different kind of communication and are proposing to, in essence, extend the disclaimer requirement out further into some areas that I think are much more traditionally within the media exemption. And so I'd first start with the proposition that though we could read the disclaimer requirement, whenever any person makes a disbursement for the purpose of financing communications expressly advocating the election or defeat of a clearly identified candidate, we could read that language to require that a newspaper making an editorial endorsement of a candidate include a disclaimer. But we never have. because we've viewed the media exemption from the definition of expenditure and contribution as not requiring those kinds of disclaimers. And likewise, it is not uncommon for newspapers to give space to candidates to say whatever they want to say. And these are sort of like voter guides that are printed in the newspaper, and sometimes the paper just gives a certain amount of space or a certain number of words to each candidate and you know, has it right there. Sometimes the newspaper asks questions, and the answers appear there. And again, we haven't required a disclaimer, either on the basis that the newspaper is financing this communication and somehow if they're making express advocacy, that triggers a disclaimer requirement, nor on the basis that the campaign is obviously spending some amount of money to generate these replies. And in essence, I think we're looking at a very similar situation here. The radio station is going to make time available to candidates to say pretty much whatever the candidates want to say. It's obvious to all of us that in terms of the radio network, there is no independent disclaimer requirement. That is to say, we're not saying that XM has to put a disclaimer on this material because of XM's giving away the free airtime. So we're already reading the 441D requirement as inapplicable, but we're backing in and saying that the campaign has to put a disclaimer on it for either one of two theories, either because they control the content, and I'm not comfortable with that one because I think it is exactly the same situation as any other time when a broadcaster gives time to candidates to say something, free air time on TV stations, free space in newspapers, or because they've had some expenses in generating this. And I don't think the de minimis expenses that they might have properly triggers a disclaimer requirement either for a couple of different reasons. One is, in some of these cases, the marginal expenses are going to be zero. And what's going to be involved is the time of a candidate to tape a statement, probably using a computer that already exists and software that already exists and communications links that already exist. And so it's just going to be a candidate's time and a staffer's time to record it and send it along. Particularly with radio, we're just talking about audio files, and they're fairly easy to make. The other is that there are other places where candidates may be making de minimis expenditures in connection with activities that otherwise don't trigger the disclaimer requirement. For instance, in the party coordinated expenditure area, 441 AD, sometimes the parties will run as coordinated expenditures the candidates' own ads that the candidates paid to produce. And I don't think we've ever said that if they do that, they have to have the party committee disclaimers as paid for by the party, authorized by the candidate. No problem there. But we haven't gone in to say, well, just because there were some production expenses paid by the candidate, you've got to have an extra or different disclaimer. Nor have we said that that travel expenses or other expenses connected with candidate debates or other county candidate appearances that are exempt somehow trigger the candidate's disclaimer requirements. So while I see how a literal reading of the statutory provision could lead us into imposing a disclaimer here, I don't think that's the correct reading, and I am concerned that by expanding the area and going out from a 30-second ad that really is nothing more to than an ad to a 5-minute segment of airtime, which is like what we have approved many times before, candidate goes on TV, goes on the radio, and talks about the campaign, that we are not only extending the disclaimer requirement to a place where it's not required, where it doesn't serve any particular use, as the commenter points out, could be confusing, but I think we are extending it in ways where the theoretical basis that must be behind that has implications for other sorts of activities that we have never considered requiring disclaimers. And so I think we would be better off not imposing disclaimer requirements on these communications.
Okay, thank you. Other thoughts, comments? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
I have a question for the Vice Chairman. I don't necessarily disagree with what he's saying, but I'm wondering how would we distinguish when we think a disclaimer would be needed? And to take the example you're providing, are you talking about a de minimis cost exception? I mean, if, for example, someone, you know, hires a production company and spends a lot of money, you know, putting together an hour's worth of a program that they're going to supply, as opposed to just sitting down and recording something quickly. So you have minimal cost versus something very expensive. I mean, does that make a difference in your view of whether disclaimer is required or not?
I guess I would take each case on the facts. And what I'm suggesting as to this case is that Daniels was a case of nothing but an ad that was being run for free, and we can leave that alone. This is a different case where we have radio communications that are being run as a part of a big effort at public communications. I think it would be easy enough to imagine a different sort of case which presented a scenario where the authorized committee and someone else were sharing the cost of the communication, you know, and that was sort of the plan. Well, the committee would pay for this part, and whoever else was making what would in essence be a coordinated contribution was paying for the other part, and in that case it would be a coordinated contribution, and you know, we might have a whole set of other issues there. But on these facts, where the broadcaster is doing nothing but providing free airtime on a non-discriminatory basis in a way that otherwise would be appropriate, I don't really see how it makes a difference. In other words, if one campaign were to come into the XM studios and tape this, notwithstanding the footnote in Daniels, I don't think that would trigger a problem. Or if a campaign were to simply make this tape on a laptop computer and email it to XM and have them run it, and another campaign was to go and rent studio space in a professional sound studio for reasons of their own, I don't think that's a very good reason for us to try to make a distinction about what XM is doing. And I think that, frankly, the nub of the problem gets down to the definition of the word makes. And I think that's the reason that we're having trouble, because what the rule says is whenever a political committee makes a disbursement. And in this case, I would simply say the political committee is not making a disbursement for the purpose of financing the communication, that XM is doing that, and XM is exempt. And again, on these facts, the de minimis sorts of costs that the campaign may incur don't change the outcome.
I think at this point in the day, it's probably good news for counsel for XM, Mr. Keeney, who's sitting in the audience, that the commission is fighting over the disclaimer part of his request, and that there seems to be no other concerns on what he has proposed here today. And so it is, but it is on the disclaimers, the question of whether the candidate, there needs to be a disclaimer on the candidate material that we are struggling through. And I guess the part of the vice chairman's analysis that I don't share is I don't see the point in this where we have anything that resembles a certainty that these are simply de minimis costs on the part of the campaign for the candidate to show up at the station and record their block of time. And I would assume that given the opportunity to reach a broad audience, that the better funded and more sophisticated campaigns would treat this as they would any other kind of commercial advertising they were doing, and that they would focus very much on the demographics of the particular audience, that they would craft their message accordingly with the kinds of staff and expertise they have at hand, and would use the level of resources that they normally do in crafting radio broadcast advertising. And so from my point of view, it didn't strike me as particularly troubling and probably somewhat more helpful and consistent for candidates to include in those communications a disclaimer identifying themselves, their campaigns, as the source of the content of that. And the fact that in this particular instance, XM is giving away the time rather than selling the time, for me did not result in a different outcome as to the law. I certainly understand the vice chairman's argument, and I think that it is well taken, although I do not reach the same conclusion at the end of the day. Vice Chairman Mason.
I just wanted to ask, though, the same sort of question. How do we distinguish that from the situation where a newspaper is given free space to campaigns?
You know, I guess it depends. You know, in that sense, it strikes me as somewhat clearer, as does the hypothetical you gave of the editorial. You know, where the newspaper is advocating the election, and yet we require no disclaimer that as to what is being presented. And I guess to me it is less clear, and maybe it will be in the way the broadcasts are presented on the POTUS channel, that as you move through the dial and you hear. You know, be it Hillary Clinton or Mitt Romney in their 30-minute presentation on why they should be elected the next president of the United States, that all you're doing is seeing the forum opened up by the publication. It may be that that's the way that this ends up being perceived and construed. I think it more likely that it's construed or perceived as other kinds of advertising would be. And I think that that's you know that when people look at newspapers and see those little boxes that multiple candidates receive to answer the questions posed by the editors that there is a sense that that is in fact a very different kind of communication than the half page ad the campaign purchases. I guess that's my the best answer I have to that. Commissioner Weintraub.
I agree with the chairman. I do think that there is a value to having a disclaimer. I mean, in the first place, I think there will undoubtedly be some disbursement. There will be some cost involved for the campaign. So I have, you know, sort of a statutory construction problem with saying, well, we're going to, even though they're making a disbursement for the purpose of influencing an election, we're not going to require a disclaimer in this circumstance. I mean, plainly, we're not requiring a disclaimer by XM. We're not saying that they're making an expenditure, but the campaign surely is spending something and possibly a significant amount of money. But I also think that there is a public benefit to having the disclaimer because normally, you know, if you're watching television and you see Tim Russert interview a candidate, then you know that Tim Russert is exercising some editorial control over what's going on that program and is going to be questioning what the candidate is saying. When you hear these things, and particularly if they're longer blocks and they don't come off like a 30-second ad, I think that there is a real possibility that people could be confused as to what they're listening to and think that there is some editorial control being exerted by XM or some, you know, some other mechanism being used to make sure that there's all sides are being presented and there's a response to every claim and that doesn't appear to be the model here. Now, having said that, if there's a half an hour broadcast that's supplied by the candidate and at the very beginning and the very end there's going to be some kind of disclaimer and in the middle if you happen to tune in for the 10 minutes in the middle you're never going to hear that. You know, there's a limit to how much the disclaimer can accomplish, but I actually do think that there's a positive goal to be achieved in having the disclaimer, and it is the I think the most natural reading of the statute to require it.
Other thoughts, Vice Chairman Mason?
I'm sympathetic on the reading of the statute, but I just want to note that we're all in agreement that we're not going to read 441DA literally in isolation. Because if we read it literally in isolation, it would require a disclaimer on the part of XM or any newspaper that ever writes an express advocacy editorial. And so, I in trying to read the statute together, I think that's the proper way to go, and I think all of us are going to be doing that to one degree or another. On the confusion point, I think that that cuts the other way, because in the context of free time, I think placing a disclaimer confuses people about what's going on. In other words, if it's free time, as the chairman points out, in the print context, you can look at it and you can see certain cues to the way the layout is done and the placement, and people know where editorials are, and typically they do put boxes or different type print or whatever to help, you know, clue people in. But people are used to hearing disclaimers on candidate paid ads. And almost no matter what specific language we put in there, if there's a disclaimer there, that's going to tell people it's an ad. And I think that is partially misleading in a context like this, where, you know, where the time is being given by the broadcaster. I don't think there's a huge harm, but if all we're talking about is you know, what's confusing to people, I think it cuts as much one way as the other.
Okay. Other thoughts, Commissioner Walther?
I understand the beginning of the blurriness, and I think it is something to address as we go along. And I understand that. I think in this category, though, you've got 8 million viewers, and you've got presidential candidates, and they have no control over content except for the candidate has 100% control, it appears to, unless there's profanity. It gets pretty darn close to full control, and moves in my mind a little more toward the ad category. And it's good to let people know, I think. At some point, like Commissioner Weintraub says, it may miss it entirely if you tune in and tune out. But if you get a chance to hear the whole thing, I think it's important to let people know really where it came from. And on the second point, I think when you're running for president and you've got 8 million subscribers, there's going to be some very, you know, I think careful thinking and some perhaps sound modulation, and I mean, there's a lot of things that could be done to try and make the message more interesting, and so I would be doubtful that there wouldn't be some kinds of costs incurred day in and day out when they do this. So I'm not sure we can speculate here that there wouldn't be a significant cost in a number of instances, and so I'm comfortable with it in this situation. My one concern I just want to say here is that there doesn't seem to be a clarity to me that the time of day will always be equally shared, and whether as they rotate through there could be some uneven placement of time during the day. In other words, if somebody runs through and they're first for the day and they're in at 2 in the morning, as opposed to the next candidate could be at 5 in the afternoon. And so I am assuming that will be, everyone will be treated equally in terms of time slots as well, but that was one area that seemed to me wasn't covered here.
Okay, Council?
Actually, it is my understanding that they're going to do the same block of time every day, run it at the same time. And then what gets rotated is who goes first every day in that dedicated hour. At least it starts with an hour. It might expand over time. But my understanding is it will be at the same time every day.
Okay. Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Let me ask my colleague. I mean, I understand the vice chairman's concerns. I also don't necessarily have a problem with the draft as OGC has put it together. But I wonder if, since we seem to be arguing a little bit about production costs as opposed to airtime costs, distribution costs, I have a suggestion for just a slight change of language that might clear this up a little bit. If I could draw your attention to page 7, line 22. Where we say basically that the disclaimer must be presented in a clear and conspicuous manner to give the listener adequate notice of the identity of the political committee that paid for the communication. I mean, part of the argument here is that they didn't pay for the communication, but if we were to change the word paid to exactly match the statute, the statute doesn't use the word paid. The statute says, and this is 441D, whenever a political committee makes a disbursement for. My suggestion is that we consider changing the word paid to makes a disbursement, so that it would read instead that the disclaimer must be presented in a clear and conspicuous manner to give the listener adequate notice of the identity of the political committee that made a disbursement for the communication. And then the other
slight change that I might suggest we look at is we, after that, we give three examples of possible disclaimers. And we do say these are not exclusive. I mean, they don't have to use these particular three. These are just options. But if we want to really be informative on option number three, which currently reads, "Time for this message was provided free by XM Radio to help inform the public about the current presidential campaign and other costs were paid by X for president," I mean, we could say, if we added the word production, so it said, "and other production costs were paid for by X for president," I mean, would that be more informative to the public? And would this take care of any of this concern?
Good questions. Good suggestion. I find them unobjectionable changes, but I'm not the, don't know about it, what everybody else thinks. Council, any thoughts on Commissioner Von Spakovsky's changes? Raise any problems we haven't thought about?
No, not that we can foresee.
Okay. Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if no one then has an objection, I will make a motion that we adopt the draft of AO 2007-20, which is agenda document 07-70, with the amendments that I just described.
Okay.
I'd be happy to go through them again if the Secretary needs.
Yeah, I was going to say, Madam
well,
Secretary.
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that. Okay, Commissioner Von Spakovsky has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
Madam Secretary, Commissioner Von Spakovsky's motion has been adopted by a vote of 4-0, with the Vice Chairman dissenting from that. Council, thank you very much.
Sure.